deserve.
Yes, sir.
And I'm glad I'm getting something I don't deserve.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my. Not going to be anybody strutting in heaven, amen. But there's going to be a lot of folks there that ought not be there, amen. Sometimes I'll be at a meeting, Brother Jesse, and it'll be one of them uppity-up meetings and maybe a bunch, and I'm thinking, I do not belong here, amen. I'm going to be in heaven for about 1,000,000 years. I'm going to be thinking that the whole time. I ought not be here, amen. Amen. But I'm going to.
Yep.
Amen. Because of the good grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm so thankful for him. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles and amen. 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. And I think most of y'all know me and know kind of my spirit and everything, so I don't mind preaching this message to you. But 1 Kings chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That's kind of bold.
Yeah.
Tell you what, when you make a statement like that, you better be right. Amen. You better make sure it was from the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
But he said, not going to rain no more. And the word of the Lord came in him saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I want you to notice two things in that verse. First of all, he commanded the ravens. He told them what to do, and they did it. And he said to feed thee there. Now, if he had never made it to there, the ravens would have never fed him. It is important to be there. It's important to know where there is. Amen. And so I'm just saying, the Bible's full of places that we ought to be. Amen. Ought to be reading our Bibles. Ought to be at church. Ought to be praying. Well, I can just serve God at home. I don't have to go to church. You're stupid.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. You've been smoking your socks. I'm telling you what. Listen, there's something special about meeting with the people of God. There's just something special about that. I've heard, I can worship God just as good down at the lake as I've never seen anybody worshiping God down at the lake. They're fishing. They're skiing. Amen. They're not worshiping the Lord. Something special about this place. He said, where two or three gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. I just like it where God is. Amen. And he's not always been in all the church services I've been, but he's been in a lot of them. And I tell you what, that makes up for those that he's not there. Amen. You said, Jesus don't show up to some churches? Yeah, because they don't want him. Amen. And they can do it without him. Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen. I was talking to somebody last week about preachers who have all kind of charisma and they got all kinds of talents and they're orators and everything. I said, that scares me to death.
Amen.
I said, when you get like that, you can do it with or without God. Amen. I want to be in a condition where if God don't do it, amen, I'm a flop. Amen. I'm a mess. Amen. And I'm a flop and a mess half the time. Amen. But every once in a while, God will use me. Amen. Thank the Lord for it. But you better be there. Amen. Find out where there is and get there. Amen. So, verse 5, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread, and what's that next word? That's for you vegetarians, you vegans. When God feeds his people, it's bread and flesh.
Amen.
Now, I didn't get enough amens on it. Bread and flesh, that's the way God feeds us. Listen, those Levitical priests, they had to eat the part of the sacrifice. That's why Moses got mad at Aaron after Aaron's kids got killed. Aaron didn't eat it because he was just sorrowing. He couldn't eat. But Moses said, what's going on here? And Aaron said, listen, my son died. And Moses said, all right, that's good this time. Amen. But next time you better eat that sacrifice. That's what it's for. Amen. Come on, shake your little heads. Because some of you people, amen, the vegans, amen. Heard about this guy, showed up at this guy's house for dinner, for lunch, amen, a little picnic they were having. So the women were in there preparing stuff in the kitchen, and he was out on the grill cooking steaks. And so he asked this guy, I said, how do you like your steak? He said, I don't eat red meat. He said, all right, I'll cook it medium for you. Amen. He says, no, I don't eat red meat. He said, all right, I'll cook it well done. He said, no, you don't understand. I don't eat meat. I'm a vegetarian. Oh, why didn't you tell me in the first place? He said, get on your hands and knees and trip up around the picnic table while I'm cooking these steaks. Amen. Amen. Bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land, just like he said. And the word of the Lord came in him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell. What's that next word? Now there's changed. And how does he know it changed? God told him. I've seen a lot of people get in a mess because they move from there to, and they don't know where the other there is. God hadn't told them anything else. Listen, some old preacher told me this years ago, and this has helped me. Go on your last orders. And you stay with your last orders until you get the new orders. Well, God's just moving me. Where? Amen. He's got to have told you. I mean, if you shut a door, he's opening a door somewhere. You better find out where it is. I heard this young preacher, he was going up to Maine, mainly because his wife's parents were there. But he said, no, I'm going up there. I said, listen, that's a dry and thirsty land. You don't have a good church up there. Why are you going up? He said, well, maybe God wants me to go through a desert experience. I said, you don't volunteer for desert experiences. Bad enough as it is, much less volunteering for one. Amen. Anyway, I don't know how I got on that. But anyway, there's changed. Amen. He said, what was that other word I asked you to remember? I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So first God told the ravens what to do. Now God has told a widow woman what to do. So he rose and went to Zarephath, verse 10. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, my name is Elijah. What's your name? No. I mean, here, this guy's been sitting at the brook for I don't know how long, weeks, maybe months, just getting fat and sassy on bread and flesh. He hadn't preached a message. He hadn't hit a lick of the stick. Amen. He just sitting there. Now, here's this woman gathering sticks. And the first thing comes out of his mouth, yo, lady, give me something to eat. Or give me some drinks. Give me some water. And so, bless her heart, she does what he said. Fetch me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, while you're up, amen, bring, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Give me something to eat, too. Now, this is a Baptist preacher right here. I mean, you can tell right there it's a Baptist preacher. But if you ever think about, he didn't even ask her name. He didn't say, I'm Elijah and God commanded you to, none of that stuff. He just sees her. She's out gathering. He says, hey, give me something to drink. And she obeys the command. She starts, oh, while you're up, give me something to eat too. Well, she's got a little problem there. She said, verse 12, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not. Anybody ever get there? Yeah. You don't have it. She said, I have not. When I first went to evangelism, I was concerned about how to have. I mean, missionaries go through this because at first they'll still keep their job and they'll still keep their house and they'll try to do weekend meetings that are closed. But after a while, you've absorbed. So then you have to start taking off work. And there comes a time when you have to quit work and you have to depend on the monthly offerings to sustain you. And when I went to evangelism, it was the same way. I had to quit where I was. I had no house. Matter of fact, this summer, 35 years ago at Shady Acres Baptist Church, Brother Jack Wood's church, I surrendered going to evangelism. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, how am I going to make it? How to have. So I started studying the Bible on how to have. I'll give you just a few things. Amen. Number one, if a man don't work, neither shall he eat. work. Now, it didn't say if a man don't have a job. It says if a man don't work. Amen. So I couldn't get a job because I had to travel all the time. But I worked. Everywhere I was, I worked. If a church had something going on, I worked. Amen. And God taught me that, and God blessed that. No church ever gave me any money for helping them work. But God was keeping score. The only thing I know of I got from helping any churches do the work, my home church gave me a pair of cowboy boots. Praise God. Lizard, Tony Llamas. Woo! Amen. Amen. That's big payday right there. But I'm just saying, he said, if a man don't work, neither shall he eat. Here's another passage. And there was water here this morning. You're not moving fast enough. I'm waiting. Yeah, some bread. While you're up. Thanks, brother. Amen. Y'all, excuse me. I always hate it when preachers drink in front of me. Because I just want you to know this stuff is good. Don't you wish you had some? Amen. First of all, he said, work. Second, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Put God and God's work first in your life. Let me back up. This message is not for preachers. This message is for everybody. Amen. Now, it was just, God just showed it to me when I was, but listen, it's for everybody. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Welfare is not well, and it's not fair.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So listen, you work. Number two, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then in the context, he said, consider the lilies. They don't toil, they don't spin, but God takes care of them. The ravens or the sparrows, God feeds them. He said, listen, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You'll have something to wear. You'll have a place to stay. You'll have food. Amen. God will take care of that. So God taught me to seek him first.
Amen.
This next one you may not like. He taught me to get out of debt.
Amen.
Amen. And it's already quiet. No, some people, amen. I just want to say this. I'm debt free. Amen. But anyway. There's so many reasons why not to go into debt. So many reasons not to borrow. The Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. And in the New Testament, it says, no man can serve two masters. I wonder if that's why they call it MasterCard. Right. How many times you ever want to give an offering, but you've got a bill you got to pay, and you can't. And listen, you pay your bills. I only want, you pay your bills. You made the bill, you pay the bill. Amen. People used to pay some of our tuition at Christian school were their tithes. That's wicked. That's wicked. Anyway, that's a whole different subject. Amen. But listen, the borrower servant to the lender. Here's another one. I say not we'll go into a certain town and buy and sell, get gain, but the Lord will, the Lord willing. Y'all with me now? You know what? That's in James. Amen. You with me? There's not a banker in this town that'll let you say, the Lord willing, I'll pay this money back. Amen. You don't know you can pay that money back. You think you can. Mm-hmm. And if nothing changes, you might can. But you don't know.
Yeah.
But you sign on the dotted lines, I will. How many have ever signed I will and you couldn't?
Yeah.
Just me and her. Amen. Is that all? Amen. There we go. We're going to have an altar call in just a minute. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I got a few other reasons, but here's one I learned when I was teaching in Bible college. These 18, 19-year-old kids came to Bible college, left their mom and dad, and their mom and dad gave them a debit card. Yeah, give them a debit card. And they would get to the end of the month, and they couldn't pay their tuition because of Starbucks. Yeah, but you just hand them the card, you know, and they didn't know that they couldn't afford it. Anybody remember their mom and daddy said, we can't afford it. You know what? With one of those cards, you don't know when you can't afford it. Now, I'm just going to let y'all think about that for a minute. Everybody thinking about that? How many times this month have you thought about, we can't afford that? Those stupid cards. I mean, we don't. And then you get to the end of the month, and that's why they call it Discover. What? One reason why not to go into debt is you need to know when you can't afford something. And let me say this. The same God that can provide whatever you need after you get it in payments can provide it before you get it. You just have to sacrifice a little. And we're not into that. We're not into that. Amen. Listen, God told me, no debt. Don't go into debt. So I obeyed him. And then he taught me this. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men give in your bosoms. God taught me to give. Now, I was like this woman. I didn't have. But then if you keep reading, I have not a cake, verse 12, but a handful of meal in a barrel. Well, she did have something. Now, she didn't have what she thought she ought to have, but she had something. God never asks you for something you don't have. And anything we have, he gave us to begin with. Amen. So she said, I have not a cake, but I do have a little meal and a little oil in the cruse. Behold, I'm gathering two sticks, and I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Here's the Last Supper right here in 1 Kings. Amen. The Last Supper. Yeah. I mean, how pessimistic can you get? She said, this is the Last Supper right here. We're going to dress this, and me and my son are going to eat it, and then, amen, we're dead. Elijah said to her, fear not. Well, it's easy for us to say, isn't it? Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Now, you're talking about the gall of the guy. Give me something to drink. Give me something to eat. She said, I don't have any. I just got this. We're going to eat and we're going to die. He said, yeah, give me that one. But let me remind you, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. Now, the title of this message is The Widow's Need. Now, on the outside, we're looking and we're thinking, Elijah has a need. Hey, listen, he's just like most preachers. He's been sitting by the creek, amen, amen, just waiting for the gravy train to come in, amen. No, this widow woman has the need. But the way God takes care of her need is she gives. She gives. Now, let me say this to people. There's some people in here, I'm sure, oh, you're going to preach on giving. Man, all you preachers, I give. I'm not a taker. I'm a giver. I love to give. Anybody old enough to remember that show on television, The Millionaire? There used to be a show called The Millionaire. And you never saw him. You just saw the back of his executive chair, you know, and you saw the guy in the front because he's through the whole show. And every week, he would give this guy $1 million and tell him who it was that was supposed to get it. So the whole thing was about this guy finding him and all that stuff and giving him this $1 million. I thought, that would be a great job. I mean, I don't want the $1 million. I just want to see the people that get it. I don't want to see. That'd be great. Amen. And I'm just telling, that's my heart. I like to give. I like to give. I mean, and everything I give's somebody else's money anyway. Sure, it's his. Amen. Do y'all get that? It's his anyway, and he's loaded. He's loaded. I just give it. He's, oh, I got some more here. Amen. God will take care of it.
Amen.
Amen. So God was teaching me how to give. And I just did the best I could. And, of course, I tithe, but that's not given. Tithing is not given. Tithing is paying your bills. Amen. Well, I just can't afford it. Well, then let him turn your air off. You might think that's the most important bill if you turn the air off. You say, hey, can't turn the air off. He's turned a lot of mine off until I get fixed this next week. Amen. Amen. Anybody got COPD? You better. Amen. No, he can do anything. But God started teaching me how to give. And I was at a church. It was right on I-10, close to Jacksonville, Florida. White House, maybe. I'm not sure. And it was years and years ago. Well, it's 35 years ago. And there was a missionary from Bearing Precious Seed there. And he just joined Bearing Precious Seed. And he came up and gave testimony and told what God was going to use him for and everything. And his job was to raise money to get paper to make Bibles. And so I'm sitting in my seat there, and God says, I want you to give everything in your pocket towards an offering to get a roll of paper. So, and I'm new there. They don't know me. And so he sits down, and I said, God, you got to have that preacher say something where I know this is you. So the preacher got up, and for whatever reason, he says, does anybody have anything to say? I thought, well, that was quick. I said, yeah, I was sitting about over here somewhere. I said, yeah, God told me to give everything in my wallet to get some, you know, buy a roll of paper. And I stuck in the offering plate, and then people started coming and put money in the plate. After church, I was going out the door, and Brother Fielder, who was also with Bearing Precious Seed, came up to me. He said, this is for you. And he stuck something in my pocket. And as soon as I got out of his sight, I hate to give this secret away, but that's what we do. Or you go to the bathroom and you look, amen. But as soon as I got out of his sight, I reached in to see what it was. It was a $50 bill. I said, well, that's a blessing, amen. I gave about 25. I counted it as a walked up. It's about $25 put in. And I got 50 bucks, amen. Yeah. That's pretty good. And so that night, the pastor was up there telling about what happened that morning. And he's bragging on me. Oh, Brother Buddy, he's such a precious man, and he started the offering, and he's so wonderful and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, I didn't give it because of that. I gave it because I was told to. Amen. But and he said, we didn't quite get enough money for a roll of paper. If you'd like to give tonight, you come on up. And God says, I want you to give that 50. And I said, God, I would, but he's bragged on me. I'm not walking up in front of those people with any money. And my wife don't know what's going on. She elbows, do you have any money? I said, yeah. So I gave her the 50 bucks. Amen. She put it in. Amen. Amen. The next night, the pastor's up there. Oh, by the way, Brother Buddy, come here. Somebody gave something to me to give to you. It was a $100 bill. I'm thinking, this is better than Vegas. Yes, sir. Amen. And so I've never been to those rooms, amen. I've been to Vegas. The smorgasbord is real cheap, amen. But anyway, but you got to go through those pits to get there. And so I don't know much about Vegas, but I know what let it ride means. Yeah. Let it ride. So I'm thinking, I'm going to let this ride. So I folded that thing up and stuck it back in my wallet. I said, this is giving money. Right. It's giving money. And I'd already, you know, we've been traveling just a month or so, and I was up in Pennsylvania, and some big-time evangelist got a newspaper and everything. He shamed me because I didn't have a fifth wheel or a motorhome or whatever and asked me why I didn't have it. I said, I can't afford it. He said, don't you have good credit? I said, yeah, but God told me not to borrow. Well, you're I don't know what word he used, but idiot, retarded, I don't know what he called me. But he said, you got to borrow money to get something. I said, well, I'm just telling you what God told me. So I felt really bad about it, but I was saving, but, you know, I don't know how long it would have taken. So, but I was trying to get this fifth wheel or something, and but I gave that $100, or I got that $100, and I went to Brother Marvin Clanton. I don't know if anybody remember Marvin Clanton. He was an evangelist. He had a deaf ministry and a home for deaf children. So I went to his place, and he said, Brother, he said, we need more support for a ministry. He said, so I'm going to have to go back on the road. And he said, I've been looking at a fifth wheel about 50 miles up the road. He said, they want $6,600 for it. And he said, I got to thinking, There's 66 books in the Bible. That's only $100 a book.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, just like a little kid making something look not as big as it really is.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Only $100 a book. And so while I'm preaching to these deaf kids and this dumb pastor, amen. All I can think about is $100 a book.
Yeah.
I know where there's $100. So during the invitation, I came down to him. I said, Brother Marvin, I want you to take this towards getting that fifth wheel. He said, well, there's Genesis. I said, what? You don't have anything? No, that's the first one. I thought, what an idiot. Amen. I saw him 2 weeks later down in Milton, Florida at a camp meeting. He was up by the piano. I come in the back door. He said, I'm up to Hosea. In 30 days, he had the money, gave him to the guy. Some church in New Jersey gave him a pickup truck to pull it with. I was just, and it encouraged me. I thought, man, he did it for Brother Marvin. I mean, we're all right. God's going to do it. Amen.
Yeah.
And so I got to see it later on. I was in a meeting somewhere. I got to see it. We walked in. We prayed over it. I touched everything. It was just wonderful. And God said, yeah, I'll take care of it. So I guess maybe 3 or 4 months passed. He did his whatever deputation. And I drove up to his house again. And I guess 11 o'clock at night. And he's talking to me. He said, brother, he said, there's a church in Miami that wants to give our home an 18-foot travel trailer. He said, all I got to do is pick it up. And I'm thinking, you got a 35-foot fifth wheel. I'm thinking, I got $350 saved up. I might be able to get this 18-foot travel trailer, which probably wouldn't have been enough, but it'd been a start. And so I said, when you want to go get it? He said, you want to go? I said, yeah. He said, right now, 11 o'clock at night, we told our wives, we're going to Miami. Amen. We just took off to Miami. Amen. So I'm driving down the road, and finally, around Valdosta, Georgia, he says, I need to go back and get some sleep. I'll probably have to help you drive later on. So he goes in the back. I got a little couch that lays out in the back, and I could hear him talking. I was assuming he's praying. I was hoping he's praying. Amen. But he's talking anyway. Then he gets back up and sits down in the seat. He said, I can't sleep. I got to do something. I said, what? He said, do you believe the whole Bible? I said, now that's a tricky question. But yeah, I believe the whole Bible. He said, do you believe if a man sows bountifully that he'll reap also bountifully? I said, yeah, I believe that. He said, well, this trailer we're going to pick up, I was going to give it to you. And when he said was, my heart just sunk. I thought, what did I do? Amen. I was going to give it to you. He said, I was just going to sow it. And, you know, just like the Lord, sow it and see what God would give me if I sowed it, what would come up. He said, I was back there praying about it. And the Lord said, well, if you can give him that little trailer, you can give him that big one. He said, Lord, the truck too? He said, yeah, the truck too. He says, so I'm going to give you that fifth wheel and that truck. Well, it was about midnight, maybe 1 in the morning, and there wasn't enough room for me and Marvin and God in that van. So I pull over the side of the road on I-75, pull over the side of the road. We jumped this fence and went down in this pine thicket and had a spell. I mean, we're hooping and hollering, throwing pine needles up in the air. Woo! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Amen. We're just having a time. And I'm getting winded. You know, I've been going at a pretty good time. So I'm resting. I'm leaning against a pine tree resting. And I hear Marvin way down there. So, woo! Glory! And I'm thinking, he gave it to me and he's down. God said, well, it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Amen.
I said, yes, Marvin got a more blessing than I did. Woo! Amen for Marvin. Amen. So we finally got settled out. We didn't jump the fence. We weren't in the spirit coming back, so we had to climb the fence coming back. Amen. We got in the van, started driving. 5 minutes later, Marvin starts shouting again. I said, what? What now? He said, it just dawned on me. He said, you paid a down payment on it. Wow. I never, listen, when I gave that $100, I had no idea that I was paying the down payment and with the only payment for that fifth wheel.
Wow.
But he did.
Yes,
he did.
Amen.
Give, and it shall be given unto you.
Yeah.
Now, did y'all hear what I said a while ago?
Yeah.
This is not for preachers. God don't treat us any better than he treats you. You need to learn to be a giver. You need to learn to be a giver. For God so loved the world that he gave. Job, he said, I caused the widow's heart to rejoice. He said, I was feet to the lame. Amen. He helped people with their medical needs, just try to help people. And he said, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. He looked for ways to be financial blessings to people. Amen. Some people have a gift for it. But all of us, listen, ought to try. Amen. To be given. Be a giver. Listen, Elijah didn't have the need. The widow had the need. He said, no, me first. Verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Boy, I like it when he signs the check. Amen. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. You have a need tonight? Give. Give. Yeah. It sure got quiet. Amen. I'm not going to take an offering. But I'm just trying to tell you, some of us, all of us really, I want to learn better how to give. We need to learn how to give. The first time, when I went to Bible college, I never heard of Faith Promise Missions. And this guy got up there and he's talking about Faith Promise and how God would just supply it and you could give it, you know, but you had to commit it first. And, you know, preachers can talk you into everything. Amen. So, and so we got those commitment slips, you know, and it said $100 a week, $50 a week, $25 a week, $5 a week, other. And my pride would not let me do the other because I want to give $1 a week. I didn't have a job, but my pride wouldn't let me do it. So I marked $5 a week. I didn't have a job. I was going to Bible college. And so they that was Sunday. Monday, I was sitting in a cafeteria at the college, and this girl, the line was right here in front of me. You know, they were going by me, and this girl comes up to me, Sandy. She's from Detroit. She comes by me. She stops. She said, buddy, do you need a job? I said, as a matter of fact, yeah, I need a job. She said, well, I clean house for a lady, and she said, could I find someone to rake leaves for? I said, I'm a leaf raking machine. Amen. I can take care of leaves. So she said, the tools will be in the back of the house, and when you get done, just knock on the door, and she'll pay you. So I went. I never met the lady, went out, raked the leaves, bagged them up, went on the back door, knocked on the door. She came out and gave me $5. And I've been trusting him ever since.
Amen. Amen.
You're not going to outgive him.
Amen.
You're not going to outgive him. You need to tithe. And once you get that down, then you need to exercise your faith. You know, when you exercise, each time you go out, you can push up a little bit more. Amen. And you're not going to start giving, you know, giving a fifth wheel away. That guy's been giving a long time. But when you exercise, you can give more. And the more you trust God, the more you can give. And the more God trusts you, he'll give you more. He's not going to make a rich man out of you. But he'll make it where everything's okay.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We've already taken the offering. So I'll say this. We'll close. I was at another meeting with a bearing pressure seed guy. And he was walking around something at the pulpit. I could tell. He wasn't right behind the pulpit. He was kind of like this. And I could see he was going around something as he preached. Of course, he's preaching about giving your life to the Lord and things like that. When he got done preaching, He pulls out from behind that pulpit an offering plate this big around. And we chuckle. We thought, boy, that, he's going to get a big offering tonight, amen. He brought out that big thing. It wasn't for money. He set it down in front of the altar. He said, this is for you. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And that night, I don't know how many individuals got in that offering plate and just said, Lord, whatever you want. I saw couples in an offering plate said, Lord, we're giving our life to you. You know what? If God has you, he's got that. I'm not preaching for this tonight. I'm preaching for you. God wants you. Sometimes we'll even do this so we don't have to do this. Years ago, I'm trying to close. Can you tell? I'm trying to close. Years ago, a guy in our church, Steve Brogdon, and just a great guy, great family, and every missions conference, he'd commit more. And he'd commit more. And he'd commit more. Had a great job. Took no sense, no expertise at all. I don't know how he got the job. And making great money. But he just kept giving more and giving more. And we came to a missions conference. And he's down at the altar. And he's down at the altar. And he's down at the altar. My pastor was Brother Greg Estep. Brother Estep came down to him and said, Steve, what's going on? He said, I can't give any more money. He said, there's only one other thing I can give, and that's me. And Steve surrendered to go to the mission field that night. Amen. Went to Papua New Guinea. Started 8 churches. Amen. That beats working on phones at the hospital. Now listen, if you work on the phones at the hospital and the Lord told you to do it, you're doing it to his glory. But I'm just saying, God wants you. I don't know why God, that verse we read this morning, but I beseech you that you walk worthy. Why would he have to beg us to do something we ought to do anyway? And in Romans chapter 12, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifice. After all he's done for us, why would he have to beg us to give us our lives and our bodies to him? Why would he have to do that? That's just natural. Well, as a matter of fact, the next verse says, it's a reasonable service. It's just reasonable. I mean, if God saved your soul, you can give him this stinking body. Amen. I got off giving, didn't I? I meant to. Are you surrendered? Does God know he's got you? I'm just waiting for you to figure it out. God got you? Are you to the point? Whatever, Lord. Whatever. That's what God wants. Total sacrifice. You know, y'all used this altar this morning. I appreciate it, but I've been to some churches where, man, it's just rarely do you see anybody going up there. And the reason is because an altar is a killing place. It's a killing place. And we don't want that. That's what I was saying. Some of us will give money as long as we don't have to die. No, you give yourself, and God will be pleased. If you give your money and don't give yourself, he's mad at you. Are you tipping him? Is that what it is? Amen. Well, I've already gotten in trouble, so let's pray. Lord, we love you and appreciate you. Thank you for the word of God.